Ahead, get started with our message now, and I want to start off by bragging on my granddaughter, 10-year-old Vivi. Since the time that she was born, we were, Jan and I and her mom and dad, we were all faithful to be very specific when it came to saying please and thank you with her. And you know what? At 10 years of age, she is still one of the most polite children I've ever met. Of course, when she first started talking, it was peas and thank you or something like that. What a wonderful thing to be that way. Well, you know what? When we pray to God, it's kind of like we're saying please. And then when we praise God, it's kind of like saying thank you to Him. Now, I want to start off by praising God. Last Sunday, I've asked you to join with me and Jan to pray for us as we put our house on the market to sell. So we were asking God, please provide a buyer quickly. Well, we listed with our realtor on Monday afternoon, and on Tuesday evening, we accepted an offer that was above our asking price. So I want to say thank you, God. And today I'm asking you to join us in prayer again, this time for the inspection and the appraisal and the closing to go smoothly and quickly. And now I'm going to ask you a question. How can I join you? Or how can we, as a church, join you in praying for your provision? I'm going to start off by leading us in a prayer. It's a short, specific prayer. And I want you right now, this second, to be thinking about what it is that you most need God to provide for you. And as I pray this prayer, I'm going to pause for just a few seconds while you fill in the blank with your request. Okay, let's pray. Father, we now know more than ever that you are our great provider. Week after week, we've been teaching and reading in the Bible all about this. You're our ultimate provider. You're the very source of all provision, no matter the resource where it comes from. Right now, we have come to you in faith, believing. And Father, we need your provision for, and now you fill in the blank, for your need. And now we will wait for your timing and your will to be done. In Jesus' name I pray all this. Amen. I think there's a lot of power in prayer, or I wouldn't do it. And I believe there's power in prayer because the Bible says there is, and because I've experienced it. And I just started off today's message with the power of prayer, of me asking others to pray, and the result that happened that was, well, according to our realtor even, it doesn't happen very often to get such a response. The other part is the fact that we had several joining together in prayer. So what I'm going to ask of you is, if you want, and many times people want to keep their prayer requests confidential, just between them and their family, between them and God. But if you want your church, the folks online today, to be praying with you, then while you're watching today, if you just want to write a word or a short phrase of what it is that you need provision for, then others on this service will join you in prayer. So anytime during the service, if you just want to do that today and make that public, go ahead and start typing in a word or a short phrase of how we can all be praying for you. Well, this past several weeks, I've been teaching about how God is our provider. In fact, remember, it's all the five characteristics I've been preaching about are summed up in one sentence. that God is the perfect provider, whose personalized provisions are positively profitable perpetually. And we've learned a lot about what the Bible says God does. I've referred to and shared a number, dozens and dozens of Bible verses about what God does to be our provider. But is there ever a time where we are supposed to do something? Well, this morning, I'm going to attempt to answer that question. Now, I have a list of things I need provision for. I've mentioned the house, and that's just one of a long list. You have things that you need God's provision for. And we pray for those provisions, and we say, please, God, we ask him to do this or that. And remember, God is going to give us the provisions we need, sometimes even without asking. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 6 talks about worry. Jesus tells the people he's with, he says, now don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. In fact, he goes on to say, don't worry about tomorrow even. And then here's what he says. The reason we don't have to worry is because the Father already knows about these needs and he will provide. However, there may be provisions that we need that will require us to ask. And we know that's scriptural too, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And after we ask, we may, and I want to stress that word, sometimes we may have to do something before we get what it is we ask for. So the title of today's message is three simple words: go, give, get. So if there's a needed provision and you're not seeing results, consider whether God may be asking you to go and give before you get. Remember the story about Elijah and the widow last week? The widow needed the provision of food, specifically flour and oil, as it was about to run out because of the drought. Well, before she could get that provision, she had to go. Remember in the story, she had to go at Elijah's request, go and make a biscuit for him first. She had to give the last of her flour and oil. But after doing both, going and giving, she got the miraculous, supernatural provision of God. Because until the rains returned and the crops were harvested, the canister of gold medal flour never ran out. The bottle of Wesson's oil never ran out. She was faithful to go, and she was faithful to give before she could get her provision. Well, let's look at another example in the Bible. The person that I'm going to refer to in Luke 18, starting with verse 18, will be somebody who is not as obedient as the widow was. So which one are we going to be? Are we going to be like the widow, or are we going to be like this rich young man? So let me read from the word, Luke 18:18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question: good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. And then honor your mother and father. Well, the man replied, I've done all these commandments since I was young. And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, well, there's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Jesus told the story about a wealthy young man, and he's referred to in your Bible and my Bible, different translations even, he's referred to as the rich young man or the rich young ruler. Well, one day the guy approaches Jesus with the question. We just heard it. He said in some translations, "What good thing or what good deed do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Now, before we go on, let me preface what I'm about to say with something the scripture tells us. Salvation is the free gift of God. Capital F, capital R, capital E, capital E. Salvation is the free gift of God. There's nothing we can do. There's no amount of money or no amount of work we can do to be saved. So keep that fact in mind while we hear Jesus' answer to this particular young man's question. Jesus began his answer by saying the young man needs to obey the Ten Commandments. And then specifically, he lists the last six of the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments are about man's relationship to God. And the last six, the ones Jesus referred to, are man's relationship with his fellow man. Well, the young man replied that he's kept those commandments since he was a youth. In other words, he says, I'm a good church boy. Well, let me digress just for a second and tell you a little quick story about a good church boy. Many years ago, Jan and I were attending the Methodist Church in Greensboro. Wonderful little church. And if you're near the Greensboro area, and that would be a place you'd like to go, I would suggest that. Anyhow, when we were attending there, there was a family that had an only child, a little boy. He was active. he had a lot of energy, let's put it that way. And the mom and dad were constantly trying to get him to be quiet and be still. Well, I'll never forget the one day that something happened, and Jan and I referred to this story all the time as to how funny it was. But he was really acting up one day and being very loud during the service. And all of a sudden, his mom took a hold of him and put her mouth up to his ear and whispered something. And then all of a sudden, in the silence of the worship service, the little boy, probably preschool age, yells out, "I don't want to be a good church boy. I'm not going to be a good church boy." I guess we know what the mom whispered in his ears. But this young rich ruler was telling Jesus he'd been a good church boy all his life. Well, getting back to his story in particular. After getting the answer about obedience to the commandments, Jesus says, well, he has to do one more thing. You need to go. You need to go and sell all you have before you can get the provision. He has to go home and have a rummage sale. He has to go and contact an auctioneer. He has to go and advertise his stuff on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. He has to go and liquidate everything. Jesus' command was, go and sell all you have. Well, you've asked Jesus for something, for provision. Is it possible he's been asking you to go somewhere first? If you're not getting your provision, ask God, even today, throughout today, God, is there somewhere I'm to go? And if so, where am I supposed to go? In early 2008, I was 52 years of age, And in that January of 2008, I made a list of, a written list of provisions I was asking God for. One of those provisions was for my future. I wrote this: God, give me a job in retirement. Boy, I was looking way ahead, wasn't I? God, give me a job in retirement that is well-paying and fulfilling. I believe God started working on answering that immediately. But the provision wouldn't come until years later. In fact, almost 4 years later. And the provision came through a series of events, positive and negative, until I reluctantly accepted the call to ministry. And I use the word reluctantly, not because I didn't want to be a pastor. It was because I didn't feel worthy to be a pastor. And it's something I still deal with. For several months, and I've told this story a number of times, some of you are tired of hearing it, but like the Bible repeats stories over and over, I have to repeat this one over and over because of the impact it had on me. And as I tell my story, maybe it helps you to have your story that you'll tell over and over about what God did. Well, I'd been having these dreams that I was the pastor of the Kennard Friends Church. And then in the summer of 2011, 3.5 years later, after I'd written down this request for provision in the future, I felt a very strong impression that I was to go to the Kennard Friends Church location. Now, this was during the week. There was no service going on. Well, since I was running an errand that day out of town, I decided that I would drive by the church on my way. And so I parked the car in front of the church sign, kept the car running. I sat there for a minute or two, just staring at the church sign. And then I prayed this one-sentence prayer. I said, "Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do, even if it's to be the pastor of this church." And then I waited for something to happen. There was not a clap of thunder. There was no bolt of lightning. I didn't see an angel. Nothing. But I felt a complete peace by going to the church. I put the car in drive, left for my errand. Little did I know that by being obedient to go and do that very simple thing, I had opened the gate to God's provision. And by the way, I stopped having those dreams that I was the pastor. The dreams would eventually become reality. Well, back to our story of the rich young man. Jesus told the man to go sell all he had. And then he added this, and give the money, the proceeds, to the poor. Well, after selling everything he had worked for, everything he had collected, everything maybe he had inherited, it would apparently have added up to a lot of money. We're talking about writing a check with several zeros after the number. And he started to realize what he would have to give. Well, that afternoon back in 2011, when I decided to go to the church and pray, I didn't realize what I would have to give. At the time, I was working for an insurance company, and as a corporate trainer, I was required to train new hires. Much of the training was done with me teaching over the internet. Then I would also do some in-person training at our Cincinnati, Ohio, or Spokane, Washington offices. When I told God I would do whatever he wanted me to do, even to pastor the church, I really didn't see it happening. Being a pastor would never work out with my current career. Well, in just a few months, I would end up seeing God's plan unfold as I would end up losing my job. I would lose my 30 years working for the company. The obstacle that I knew would keep me from being a pastor was now gone. Little did I realize I would have to give my job, my career, to get my future provision. Remember, it was the well-paying, fulfilling job in retirement? But I didn't see all that at first. Now you've asked Jesus for something, for some provision. Is it possible that he's been asking you to give something first? If you're not getting your provision, then ask God what it is that you're supposed to give. Once again, back to our story of the rich young man. Jesus told the man, go and sell all he had, and then he added, and give the money to the poor. And then Jesus added this. This is the get. Then Jesus said, you will have treasure in heaven. In essence, you will get the provision you asked for, but you have had to go and give first. Well, eventually I did go to the church building, and when I finally did give myself and eventually my job, I finally did get the provision for retirement I asked for. You see, I'm already living the provision I asked for back in 2008. In December of 2011, I accepted the position of pastor of the Kindred Friends Church, and that was 8.5 years ago. I've yet to retire, quote unquote, from my secular job, but as I approach the age for being eligible with Medicare, the time is obviously getting closer. So do you see what God did for me? My request for provision 12 years ago has already been provided. My retirement provision came even before I retired. And being a pastor is well paying. That's one of the things I asked for. And while I certainly appreciate the monetary gift from the Kennard and Caddis congregations, a pastor is well paid in many other ways, both while I'm on this earth and after I'm gone from this earth. Being a pastor is fulfilling and beyond my wildest dreams. Caring for people, teaching people, discipling people, loving people, seeing lives changed as people come to the Lord, or seeing lives changed as they grow in the Lord. Now that is fulfilling. Well, unfortunately, the rich young man missed his provision he asked for. He chose not to go. He chose not to give. I wonder where he is today. Did he ever change his mind? Did he eventually get the provision of eternal life? Will we meet him in heaven? So what about you? Will you miss the provision you've been asking for? Will you eventually get God's provision? Is God waiting for you to go first? Now, he's not asking everyone to go and sell all they have. He's not asking everyone to be a pastor. But he may be asking you to go somewhere. Is God waiting for you to give first? Now, he's not asking everyone to write a check to a nonprofit organization. He's not asking everyone to give up their career or their job. But he may be asking you to give something. I started off this morning with leading us in a prayer where I ask you to fill in the blank of what provision it is that you need from God. And I'm going to end with a prayer that I'm going to ask you to join with me in. And this time I'm going to ask you to ask God about going and giving. And that's how we'll end this morning. Let's pray. Father, we've already asked you for our needed provision, but we can't see it coming. If it's because it's not your will or it's not your timing, then please help us accept that. But if our provision isn't coming or hasn't come yet because we haven't gone where you want us to go, or we haven't given what you'd have us to give, please show us now, right now, today. We thank you and we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, be blessed and be a blessing.